Blog Talk Radio.
Awards Roots of Rock and Roll Special with your host, the David Bowers, and special guests, the original Cornell Gunters Coasters, the Crests, the Mystics, Monroe Powell of the Platters, Jimmy Clanton, and Diamond Dave Somerville, plus special surprise guests, as well as the entire crew here at the Asylum. And now, here's the David Bowers.
Thank you very much, John Bon Jovial. A pleasure to be here. Thank you to all of our listeners who have joined and are joining us. And thank you in advance to all of our guests. We've got a stuffed show today, so we'll dispense with the opening monologue and get right down to business. Hello and welcome to our special oldies show. Our thanks first off to our house band Titty Bingo, who provide our theme music. And if you haven't checked out their latest CD is Boogaloo Blues, which is available online at tittybingo.com. And, of course, be listening here for more information, because they're going to have a new CD coming up real soon, and you'll be the first to know about it if you're listening to us here. Remember, this is the show where you and our guests pick the award winners, and we do this because there's such a proliferation of award shows. We thought every show should be an award show. Why not? And that's what this is. You pick the awards. If you see someone or something that you think is deserving of a pat on the back, or a slap side of the head with a 2x4, give it to us. Drop us a line at david@thedavidbowers.com. Put awards in the subject line and tell us who you think should get an award and why. Today we have a special David Bowers Award going out to Blazin' Rye and the Blazin' Rye Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. I co-hosted with Blazin' Rye back in June 17th, I think it was, and he realized that it was his show's third anniversary, and usually he does a special for his anniversary, but he completely missed it this year, so we're going to give him this show. This David Bowers Award show we're going to share with the Blazin' Rye Show out of New York City. Ryan, it's all yours. Remember, if you've got someone or something you think deserves an award, drop us a line, david@thedavidbowers.com. Put awards in the subject line. All the rest of our awards today go to our guests, which is a virtual rock and roll hall of fame. You just heard John Bon Jovial name them, and we've got a lot of music and talent to get through today, so let's get right to it. First, we want to include one of our guest co-hosts for the show. He's a DJ on one of the best internet oldies radio stations, playing all the old classics, the music of the 50s and 60s, on oldiesplus.net. You can find him on the internet. And that would be our good friend in upstate New York, Joe T. Joe, are you with us?
Hey, David. How are you?
There you are. I'm doing just fine. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing good today. It's warm, but, hey, we got the air conditioning on.
Hey, we got a lot of that going for us right here. John and Joe, I want you guys to meet each other. This is Joe T. from Rochester, New York. This is John Bon Jovial.
Joe, it's a pleasure.
John. How are you?
I tell you what, if I was any better, I'd be illegal. So my standard answer is I'm fairly wonderful.
Well, I tell you. I like that.
All right, we're going to get right into it.
Can I feel it?
Yeah, there you go. They're negotiating rights already.
Yeah, right.
All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to get right into it. I'm first going to go to my normal co-host, and that's the first time he's ever been called normal. John Bon Jovial, what's up first today?
Why be normal, right? Okay, David, on our first guest today, and I cannot even believe that I have the honor of introducing this upcoming entity, the Coasters. Oh, my God, the Coasters, Lionel Z.
Take out the papers and the trash. Oh, you don't get nothing to cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more.
Yaggity-yack.
Don't talk that.
Just finish clean up your room. Let your ass cut fly with that broom. to the laundry mat. And when you finish doing that, bring the dog and put out the cat.
Yakety-ya!
Oh, dog, right.
Yakety-ya, yakety-ya.
Yakety-yak. I remember listening to that as a kid and playing the wearing the grooves out on the old 45s. And we're so pleased to have with us the Platters today. Now, I know that Charlie Duncan, who was going to be with us, is sick. I guess he got a round of something. I know they said he doesn't feel too well today. But we do have a couple of the other guys with us, and we're going to bring them on in just a second. First, I want to thank Denise, who coordinated all of this and was able to help us get everyone together here today. So without further ado, let us go to the phone lines and see who we have here, because I'm not sure who's on which line. Who do we have here?
Is it me?
Can you hear me? Yes, you.
Monroe Powell.
Monroe, okay, you'll be up with the Platters in just a couple of minutes. I want to get to the Coasters while we have the show going here. And let me get over to that other line real quick, because that should be Lionel Z, if I'm not mistaken. And can you hear me, Lionel?
Very well, Dave.
There you are. Hello there, and welcome aboard.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed just to be here today and to be talking with you on your radio show. It's a great radio show. It's going out to a lot of great people out there, and I just think that it's great that you're keeping this music alive and you're also connecting with the people all around the world on the Internet.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Lionel. We are very blessed to be able to have you with us here today, and we want to talk to you a little bit about the group, because you've been going for quite some time now, and when you talk about keeping the music alive and sharing it with the people, you guys are shining examples of that. You've been going now since, what, you started back somewhere in the late 1950s, didn't they?
Yeah, the very first hit came out in 1957 down in Mexico. And I just want to say one thing about my partner, my business partner, and Charlie Duncan, great singer. He's just got a little respiratory problem. It's been windy out here in Vegas. We live in Las Vegas. We call it from Vegas, and it's been windy. So he called me and asked me when I step in for him, and I'll be here. And I just wanted to just say, you know, one thing about this music, I think that people and the people listening to your show, a great show as it is, they know that whenever they go to a show and they see the Coasters, the Platters, the Drifters, the Crest, anybody, any group from that era, they know that it's going to be a great show, and the house is always packed, yeah. The house is always packed, hey. What do you think about that?
Well, the important thing, and I think the reason the house is always packed, is because you guys deliver. And that's the important thing. You guys get up there and you put on a show. You don't just get up there and go through the motions, and that's what counts. That's a big part of the music, is the feel, the feeling it gives you, and the feeling that you give the people by getting up there and doing it. Joe T, are you still there, or do you have a question for the Coasters?
I am sure here, and hello, how is the Coasters doing?
The Coasters are doing fine, man, doing great shows all around the country, getting good feedback. As a matter of fact, there's only two Coastal groups that really have the legality and the credit to come out and be the Coasters. We got so many people that are call themselves Coasters, Drifters, and Platters, but I think the people you have on the show today will attest to the fact that you've got some people that have original connections, and I think that's a great thing. And like I said, our website is a great website. It's www.g CoastersInc.com. That's www.cgcoastersinc.com. And we've got so many great pictures we got stories with Frank Sinatra. We've got pictures with Frankie Avalon. We've done so much in this business, and I'm basically a newcomer to the big group. I've only been in the group 24 years, and of course, Charlie's going on 50 years now.
Yeah.
Close to
you. Right, I'm just a wet behind the ears, aren't you?
I revere this music, and I revere that American music has set the pace around the world. And when you talk about great coastal hits like Yakety Yak, Charlie Brown, Poison Ivy, Along Came Jones, I mean, that was a golden era where you didn't have synthesizers, you didn't have computers. You had to have one thing, Dave. You had the one thing, and that one thing was talent.
That's it, and a lot of soul to go with it, because you guys got up there, and some of those trips you were on were gut grinders. You guys, people don't realize how much work it is to go and do these shows night after night. You don't do it if you ain't got a lot of heart.
Let me tell you something that's happened. I think your audience is going to love this story, because people love stories. I've talked to so many people over the years and gotten stories, but I was playing here in Vegas at a casino, and I came into my room, and my light was on in my room, a message light, and I asked my wife to get the message for me, and she got the message. When I came out, she said, "There's a letter for you down at the desk." I said, "Go get it for me." She went down and came back, and the letter said, "I love the Coasters. I love Yakety Yak. I love Charlie Brown. You guys are great. I love your uniforms. I'm 7 years old, and my sister's 5 years old." I thought that was great.
Wow.
Oh, fantastic.
I thought that was great.
I didn't believe that.
You know what I mean?
And I want to thank you personally for mentioning your first hit, because a lot of people, well, there's a good number of people that either aren't or at least weren't aware of that song, because it, you know, it was followed with a bunch of blockbuster songs. But I happen to love Down in Mexico. I think it's a great cut. I really enjoy the heck out of that track. So I want to thank you for mentioning
down
that one.
Down in the Mexicali.
Ooh, yeah.
There's a crazy little place that I know, where the chicks are hotter than the chili sauce, and the boss is a cat named Joe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's it. That
and I should also mention to you, Lionel, I kind of brought him on without introducing him to you. The Joe T that I introduced you to is an oldies DJ. He works on oldiesplus.net, which is the internet oldies station. He's on Monday through Thursdays from, what's your time, 6 to 10, is
10?
It, Joe?
No, you don't get me up that early. 10 to 2.
10 to 2. Okay, I knew there was a time involved, and I have to admit that some of the shows that I listen to, there's enough of them that I have to have, you know how radio people know you have a clock that tells you, you know, what order you play different tunes in and when you play them and everything. I have a clock on my wall that tells me when to tune to these different stations so that I can keep up with them all. But I've talked to Joe several times when he was online, and he's a great guy, and he just keeps churning out those old hits. And I want to introduce you also to my regular co-host here, John Bon Jovial. John, say hello.
Hey, Lionel, it is such an honor to have you on the show with us. It really is.
I see you now, Big John. I can see you through the phone. You look good, man, from a distance. Thank you.
But you just closed up. You're going to have a change of heart real quick. There must be some dust in the air and the winds up there in Vegas. But Lionel, I got to tell you that my 24-year-old daughter is a huge fan of the Coasters and the Platters, and she just absolutely loves that genre of music, which, of course, is, you know, very refreshing to see somebody that age, you know, having an interest in, you know, the real true roots of rock and roll.
And, you know, what's good about that is that we got some new music coming. We've got a song that I had the pleasure of writing and producing called "What Happens in Vegas Gets Emailed Home." We have a song written by J.J. Jackson, who wrote "I'm Your Puppet," who's making love to your old lady, a good friend of ours. He wrote a song called Living It Up in Hollywood, and it features Charlie Duncan on lead. And, oh, man, it's a great song. And also, Charlie Duncan has a fantastic book that he's just about completing. It'll be out pretty soon. It's the history of his relationship with Cornell Gunter. People may not know this, but Cornell Gunter was, oh, man, a great American story. He actually started playing piano with the original Platters, and he moved on to the Coasters. Of course, the Coasters were produced and written by Lieber and Stoller, who wrote for Elvis Presley, the Drifters, and many more people. But this new book is going to tell the whole story because Cornell Gunter's name has been used all over the world bogusly, but I took Cornell's place 24 years ago, and Charlie had been with him 20-some years before that. So it's a great time for us now. We got some new music coming out. Denise, you mentioned Denise. We have a great phone number. You can give her a call. It's 702-355-1322. She's our manager. Any of these groups that you're going to listen to today, she can contact them for you. That's 702-355-1322. And last thing I'd like to say, it's an honor, always an honor to work with the ultimate pro, Mr. Monroe Powell. And if your listeners don't know Monroe Powell, pull him up on YouTube, and you'll see a classic rock and roller balladeer. This man is great on stage. I love working with him.
You are absolutely right, and if they don't know him, they're going to get to know him in just a couple of minutes because he's standing by in the wings waiting to go on right after you. I want to thank you very much for mentioning, as a matter of fact, that was the next place I was going, was to the fact that you have some exciting news. You have a new CD coming out. You have a new single on it, and we are getting the privilege and honor of doing the old and the new today because we're going to play that new cut for them next. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you once again for being with us, Lionel, for pinch hitting. You're always welcome on the show. Give Charlie our best and, of course, our best wishes that he gets over his little ailment there, and tell him we want a copy of that book. I want to read that book when it comes out.
And I want to say one last thing to you. I really appreciate this, and I want to have your listeners, if you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, contact them and ask them to bring a package show to your local casino there, because everywhere we play, it's a packed house, and we just love what we're doing, and God's blessing us to keep doing it, and we're very energetic. And, of course, the Coasters were the first group to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I just love the opportunity to talk to the people. As you can see, I don't like to talk too much.
Well, I know. It's a problem for me. We try to find people who we can squeeze some words out of on the show.
I love you.
Lionel, thank
I love
you
Dave.
So
I would,
much.
I would kiss you, Dave. I would kiss you, but I can't reach you.
I tell you what. Next time I'm in Vegas, you can buy me a drink. How's that?
I can buy you a drink. All right. That'll work. Give me a holler.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Lionel. Thank you so much.
I'm enjoying being it. I'm a fan.
Fantastic. And we'll look forward to maybe getting you back on. We'll do another oldie show in the not too very far distant future. Lionel Z of the Coasters. And ladies and gentlemen, here it is for the first time on internet radio, a brand new track released by the Coasters called What Happens in Vegas gets emailed home. Uh-oh.
Once or twice.
Keep in mind on your next trip to Vegas, what happens in Vegas gets emailed home. Those are the coasters. Joe G, how you doing today?
I am doing great, David. Boy, I tell you, that the coasters are a phenomenal group that is extremely popular on my show, and there is one tune of theirs that was never a charted hit that I get the most requests for, and I'm sure that you have heard this tune many, many times. It's a classic doo-wop tune, Zing Went the Strings of My Heart.
Of my heart,
God, I love
yes.
That.
And they do a fun job on that, don't they? Hey, you know what, John Bon Jovial? I think we should turn on Joe T here and let him bring on our next guest. What do you think?
Well, you know, I know that we had some negotiations over this during the song, David. You know, there was a little bit of consternation on your part, but I said, you know, let's let this guy go for it. I think he's eminently qualified. So, Joe T, we're going to put the ball in your court.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Joe T, if you want to bring on Monroe Powell of the Platters, we'll play, we're going to play Only You, and then we'll sit down and talk with Monroe for a couple.
Folks. I want
go
you to
for
sit
it.
Back. Okay, I want you to sit back, folks, and I want you to open up your ears to the fabulous sounds of the legendary.
Only you can make all this world seem bright. Oh. Oh.
Second. Welcome aboard, and thank you, Joe T., for the sterling introduction. Monroe, good to have you join us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys.
And what are the Platters doing these days, besides making music?
Well, we're making music, but we're also, you know, we've got a lot of litigation going on, too. And
that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. So, but I've been here for 40 years, 43 years, so... I just can't let people run over me, so...
I was just going to say, you're not going to give up the ship yet.
Right.
That's a heck of a record. 43 years you've been with them. Tell me something, and this is one of the questions I get when we get into oldies. I get this question a lot from my listeners. Do you ever get tired of singing the same old songs?
Well, you know, when I'm sitting at home, I do. But as soon as I get on stage... the adulation that you get from singing those songs, you just want to do it more and more. Like, as long as the people appreciate it, you appreciate it more.
True showmanship. Yep, I know exactly what you mean. It's funny because John Bon Jovial and I were talking behind the scenes while that song was playing about a very similar topic. Now, we were both old-time radio guys. We were in terrestrial broadcast radio for years. Neither of us has done it for several years up until recently. The last 5 years or so, I've been doing online internet shows. But we were talking about the fact that you never lose the feel from our end either. We'd sit around before the show. We get all uptight and nervous about making sure everything's where it's supposed to be, and will we, you know, is this going to go right, and are we going to blow this or whatever? And then as soon as the show starts, boom, you just fall in the groove, and you're there doing what you love doing, and that's probably one of the reasons you've been doing it for 43 years.
That's right. I love to sing. I just love to sing. I don't think I've never done anything else in all my life.
Somebody said, you know, you find something you love to do, you'll never work a day in your life.
I don't know. But just the traveling, going from country to country and from town to town, driving from Las Vegas to Miami or flying from here to Australia, I mean, it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, it does. And it shows how dedicated you are to the music that you would do it. And to do it for 43 years, that is definitely dedication. And I salute you and all of our guests today who've been doing it for years and show no signs of quitting. Joe T., you got something to say to him?
Yeah, I do. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, okay.
Joe T. is a disc jockey. Joe T. is an online jock who does oldies shows on oldiesplus.net. He is our guest co-host for this portion of the show, and we're going to give him a chance to go ahead and talk to you.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that on my show on Joe T's Soda Shop, we play the music of the 50s and the 60s, and the Platters' music is right at the top of the list. There is not a day that goes by that I don't get requests for your tunes. I'm not... just talking about the A-sides, but, you know, your fans out there, they bought those 45s, and they flipped them over, and they played the B-sides. And I must have probably 100 songs of the Platters on my playlist so that I can draw from them when people ask me, could you play this tune or that tune from the Platters?
Right.
You guys are phenomenal. Love your music, and, man, keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Oh gosh, as long as I'm going, I'm gonna keep it going. You know, like you were saying, you know, we go to Japan a lot too, and you'd be surprised that people, they can't speak English, but they can sing those songs along with you, and they sing them in English.
That's right.
Says a lot.
Don't know what they're saying, but they're saying it.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that says a lot. John Bon Jovial, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I mean, I'm listening and I'm enjoying this conversation. And, you know, Monroe, it is such an unmistakable, instantly identifiable sound that you guys have now and have had over the years, and this remake of Only You that we just listened to, I mean, it almost brought tears to my eyes because it brings back memories for me when I was a lot younger, and it just, you know, as we were saying to Lionel just a few minutes ago, it is just such a pleasure to be able to still know that you guys are around, you're still making this wonderful music, and just the fact that, you know, you're there, it's a beautiful thing. You know, the quality shows, and it's like David just said, you know, when you're doing something that you love, you really can't call it work.
Right.
Monroe, tell us, here's your chance to get in your blatant self-promotion now. Tell everybody where they can find you guys, where they can get your music, any websites you've got that you'd like to tell us about.
Well, we're Denise, so you can always contact us just through Denise, and the same one that Lionel gave you.
Okay, we got that.
Same
okay.
number.
Now, do you guys have a website that your fans can go to and listen to?
No, we don't have
a
website right now.
Okay.
We were supposed to, but our litigation, we had to take it off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it always brings out the negative side.
Now, tell me something, Monroe, just for clarification, because I know it came up once or twice, but I want to be sure I've got it right now. The production company, is that Oli or is that O-L-I?
O-L-I.
Okay, it's O-L-I Productions. Okay, they're in Las Vegas, and if you want to, if fans or for that matter, promoters want to reach them, they can at area code 702-355-1322 to get more information on the Platters. You can find out all kinds of information online about them. I know there's a large Wikipedia article on it, and from what Monroe is telling me, they're going to be keeping up, making sure that everything is true and verifiable, so you're not getting a lot of misinformation.
Yeah, you can even see that on YouTube. You can see me when I was younger on the Dinah Shore show.
Oh, my gosh, there's some from back. You were back on the Dinah Shore show, huh?
Oh, wow. Yeah, Dinah Shore.
Oh, wow, that's I remember that. See the USA in your Chevrolet.
America
is. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we're definitely dinosaurs. But I know you do have some great videos on there. I've, of course, went through a lot of them just because I love the music, and of course I re-went through them when I was putting together the show and making the contacts to get you all on here. And where are you guys going to be playing now? What have you got scheduled?
Well, we're doing some Indian casinos out in California. Then we go, and of course we go back to Australia. We go back there for about 8 weeks. We've been going there for about 14 years. And Australia, and also back to Japan. We've been going there about 16 years. So we do a lot of traveling overseas a lot now.
And how long has the current complement of members been together now? I know you've been with them 43 years. How about the other guys?
The other guys have been here maybe about 10. One guy's been here about 12 years. The girl's fairly young, so she's been here about 5, 6 years.
And why don't you give us their names?
Don Glade, he's also our manager. He takes care of all the business with Denise. And,
right.
Kenny Johnson, myself, and that's about it.
And what? Since you've been with them now, you can speak to this very well, having been with them for quite a while. What is the one thing that sticks out most in your mind about being a part of the Platters?
Well, what sticks out my mind mostly is that the gentleman, a guy named Buck Ram, who wrote all those old songs, and that that hired me initially when I was for another group in Las Vegas. came and made me an offer that, of course, that I couldn't refuse. And his name was Buck Ramm. You probably heard of him.
I definitely remember Buck Ramm, yes.
And he wrote all those great tunes. Well, he wrote most of them and produced them.
Fantastic. And we're going to play another one of those great tunes right now. I want to thank you so much for joining us here and sharing with us today. And it's just, look forward to having you together again some one of these days. We'll do another oldie show if my fans want to hear it. We'll put it together for them. Thank you again so much for being with us today. We're going to get together and give a listen to My Prayer.
Oh, I bet it's
when the twilight is gone and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart, and here in my heart you say, in a dream that my prayer is a return with a
much for joining us today.
Oh, you are more than welcome, David. It's my pleasure.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you and a pleasure having your listeners join us too. Be sure and say hello to all of your fans and followers for us. And we ever get up that way, we're definitely going to make it a point to stop in and see you all up there in Rochester, up in upstate New York.
All righty. Looking forward to it. And fantastic show. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. Thank you. That's Joe T. from OldiesPlus.net, your internet oldies station. And from Joe T., we're going to move from upstate New York down to the Jersey Shore. And our next guest co-host is Dave the Rave from South Jersey's WIBG, or better known as Wibbage. Dave the Rave, are you with us?
Good morning. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, how you doing? Hey,
it's great to be on the David Bauer Show. I know you've spent many mornings on my Sunday morning show on WIBG, so it's great to be a part of your program today.
Well, thank you. It's great to have you with us. And as I mentioned to Joe T and somebody else a little earlier, where radio announcers have these music. I've got a phone going off in the background there. Excuse my interruption, but where radio people have these clocks on the wall that tell them the order of music that they're going to play. I have a clock on the wall that tells me which radio show I'm going to listen to, and yours is my Sunday morning first. So,
well,
it's great.
You're certainly following the clock to a T. You mentioned 2:40 p.m. I think you're right on a dot. So, I think if any radio station is out there, you can hire this guy because he knows how to follow the clock.
Well, you try, but if you saw my log sheet for this show for my co-host John Bon Jovial, you would also notice right on the very first page in bright purple is a note. We will almost assuredly run overtime on this show. So,
and I want you to know I feel right at home today because you've got John Bon Jovial as your co-host, and of course. You know, when John Bon Jovi was just starting out, I was actually very involved with John Bon Jovi. So to have him on the program, I feel like I'm right here back in central New Jersey.
Well, John Bon Jovi, say hello to Dave the Rave.
Dave the Rave, it is a pleasure to have you with us today.
Are you still holding the plant?
Am I still holding the plants? Well, no. You know, the thing is, I found some aphids on there, and they started getting hungry. And the next thing I knew, you know, it was barren of leaves. I don't know what happened there.
Well, great to be on the program. So I'll
you know,
we were talking about the clock there.
Yeah, no, I was going to say we were talking about the clock there, and we've all had PDs that we worked for, and we looked at that clock, and it's like, what are you thinking?
Dave, now I know you have a monstrous record collection. How long have you been in the business now?
Well, you know, I mean, as a record collector, I started my first record I picked up when I was, you know, less than 10 years old. And it was at a local Jewish community center where the disc jockey said, well, if you come out on the dance floor, you know, they would entice you with a record because nobody ever wanted to dance. You know,
right.
as soon as the DJ said, well, there's a record, you know, I'm out there because I'd do anything just to pick up the record. I just had a fixation for those 7-inch vinyl 45. But, you know, not counting college radio and so forth, it really was 1996, I started working for a Jersey oldie station, and the show became very popular. They had me doing overnights, and then they moved me to a primetime Saturday night as we really started to build up a good listenership by doing something unique, which is playing more than just the same 500 songs. And eventually, I got a lucky break. I got a call from XM Radio. And XM said, we're getting calls from listeners, and they're asking for songs that we never heard of. And when we asked them, where do you hear these songs from? We don't even know them. They said, there's this guy in Jersey. He's got this, you know, radio program. And they asked me to send him some, you know, audition tapes, and I did. And they called back and said, hey, we love your show. And they put me on, you know, coast to coast on the 60s channel. But then eventually what happened was, program director came on board who was a guy not into an expanded playlist. So I left about 2005 and started to do a show with Tommy James from the Shondells. We did a show called American Jukebox. Started to produce a show that we were going to eventually syndicate through either Jones Radio Network or Westwood One. Tommy got involved with his book, did a project, his own record, and, of course, did a project with Dolly Parton. So we did about four shows that we produced, never got beyond that, unfortunately. And then I just started syndicating the program, and then eventually WIBG came calling. So I guess from a professional standpoint, since 1996 doing radio.
Fantastic. And I know what you mean about Tommy James. Now, my listeners that have been with me for a while when I was doing another show here a year or so ago, we had the pleasure of interviewing Tommy and talking about his book, which is I always get the title backwards, but Me the Music and the Mob, or the Mob the Music and Me. I can't remember which it is, but it is
those three things. So as long as you get the three in there, you know your portion is
right.
Correct.
And I'll tell you what, it is, it's an easy read. It's not something you got to feel like you're going to be reading War and Peace, but at the same time, it is an entirely fascinating read, and I understand why he's in negotiations to make a Broadway play or a musical out of it, because it is a totally fascinating look, not only at Tommy James's career, but at the machinations of the recording industry back in the early days, in the early 60s. Yeah, it's really opened some eyes, things that people either weren't aware of or may have heard rumors of and wondered if it was true. Believe me, this book lays a lot of it on the line, and as Tommy told me in the interview, he said, I've been wanting to write this book for years, but I've had to wait till a few people passed before I dared write it. So
right.
We want to get him back on the show at a later date, too. We should have coming up very shortly. He's not on the switchboard yet, but we're waiting for him. Our next guest, which would be Diamond Dave Somerville. And Diamond Dave has a fascinating background of his own. Of course, most people know him as the leader of the Diamonds when they did The Stroll and the forever classic Little Darlin'. And Diamond Dave still makes appearances around the country and on the PBS Oldies specials, doing Little Darlin' and other songs. He had a fascinating career of his own because after leaving the Diamonds, he was in great demand and sang with several other groups whose names would be very familiar to you, too. I'm hoping that we don't have a problem getting here, but we're going to take this moment right now to go ahead and start the music, and hopefully we'll hear from Dave Somerville before the song is over. This is that classic song that we all remember, The Diamonds and Little Darlin'.
But no, well, that my lover was for just was for you.
My darling, I need you to call my own and never do wrong, to hold in mind your little hand. I know too soon that all is so grand. Please hold my hand.
My
That song never grows old. That's an amazing song. Diamonds, Little Darlin', and apparently Dave Somerville has had a little difficulty in getting in touch with us. He's not available at the moment, and the gentleman has some amazing stories he could tell. He has an album out of his own feature called The Greyhound Bus, because for those of you who don't remember, back in the early days, that's the way the rock stars traveled the country. They all piled on a bus, and sometimes they lived on those buses for weeks at a time. And Dave has some fascinating stories
about having traveled with all of the big names from back in the early days, the Everly Brothers, Little Richard, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, all of them. And he tells these stories, and he and his group also recreate the music of these groups, which is a tremendous treat, and I'm hoping that we get him on the show here before we have to leave, because he is just such a gentleman, such a professional, and has these great stories to tell. We do, however, have a backup. You always got to have a plan B, right? We have, Dave, you know how that goes with having a plan B. We have one of our other guests who is on another line right now and standing by. He just doesn't know he's going to be going live right now. He thinks he's coming up a little later in the show, but since Dave Somerville isn't available at the moment, we're going to move right along over here, and hopefully right now we're going to get a chance to say hello to Jimmy Clanton. Jimmy, are you with us?
Well, I'm here. I've been here for 50 minutes, actually.
I saw the number up there, and that's why I said, since Dave Somerville has had trouble getting through to us, we might just as well go get Jimmy Clanton, since he's been so patiently waiting for us. Jimmy, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, David. Thank you.
You're very welcome. We have my regular co-host, John Bon Jovial, is with us. And we also have on the line from Wibbage, WIBG, the oldie station in South Jersey, we have Dave the Rave. Dave, say hello to Jimmy Clanton. Did we lose Dave the Rave?
There
he is.
There he is.
Hi, Jimmy. Had a chance to actually MC one of your shows at the Strand Theater in Lakewood, New Jersey. I think I was there with another disc jockey from Wibbage Radio, Bobby Emmons.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah.
And,
how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, it was a great pleasure working with you. It's amazing how you're still like that teen star. You didn't lose anything.
Well, I try to take care of myself, and the good Lord seems to work with me about it, so I'm very happy with that. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great work with you. Sounded great, and love the music and the way you work the audience. It's really a great show.
Thank you.
And now that we have Jimmy with us, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and play the one song that all of our listeners are waiting to hear. We also have another song, but we're going to have Jimmy tell us about that a little bit after this song. So let's give a listen to Just a Dream.
Just a dream, just a dream. All our plans and all our schemes. Could I think you'd be mine? Those lies I tell myself each time. I know that we could never last. You just can't seem to end the past. Just a dream. Dreamed in vain. With you I'd only live in pain. Love this year is always with me. I can still hear that same mournful song. Now I know it's too late for me.
Please, boy.
misery. I know that I won't forget you, but now I know it's too late. No, it's never too late with folks like y'all around. For me,
ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. And thank you again, Jimmy, sir, for waiting so patiently for us. I've read on your postings that this is going to be your last major year, your last year of full traveling and touring. Is that correct?
Well, I've really been contemplating this for quite a while. It's for a lot of fans, it's no secret. I will, I go back to the early days. I actually had Just a Dream in 1958 and did shows with all of the big stars, all of the original stars, and of course Alan Freed, and having done, and some people call it the iconic rock and roll movie Go Johnny Go, and had hit records, and I've sung at Hollywood Bowl, I've sung at Lincoln Center, and I am now going to be 75 years old in September. And although I feel physically great, and knock on wood, thank God, I feel my voice is possibly the best ever. But the traveling is very, very difficult. And so I'm going to go ahead and finish all of 2013, and I have a good many things planned for that. And in 2014, I'm looking to do a kind of a farewell show for all of my fans down in the Bayou, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama area where I'm from originally. And I'm then going to probably stay closer up to the Northeast where I now live for the rest of the year, maybe a show here or there in California. But after 2014, I'm really, really, really contemplating possibly retirement. I want to concentrate on a book. I want to concentrate on a little more songwriting. I want to concentrate on a legacy DVD that's been ongoing for a couple of years. And so that will probably take me into 2015, 2016. And so I just don't know. I'm the kind of guy, David, is, and I say this very humbly, without being condescending toward anyone else. Here and there over the last few years, I've seen some big names that I knew from the early days, and they became sick, and it's hard for them on stage, and they don't have the voice they had in the first. And I've just got too much pride. I don't want to go out except on the very, very top, at the very, very best that I can possibly do. And so that's how I look at it.
I fully understand that, and God bless you for all you have done and all you have given us, and for the fact that you are still going strong at 75. My gosh, I don't know if I'll make 75, let alone still be going strong by that. But as with all of our guests, we salute you, and we're just so proud and happy to have you on the show. I know my partner, John Bon Jovial, is sitting by anxiously awaiting the chance to ask you a question, so I'm going to keep him on hold for another half hour. No, not really. John, what would you like to say?
Well, Jimmy, first of all, I'll reiterate what David says. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show this afternoon, and thanks again for waiting. But one of our listeners actually has messaged us with a very good question, and something that I myself have thought about. Your song, Just a Dream, how many copies has that sold over the years?
Well, truthfully, I don't know. And here's the main reason. Back there in that era, individual record companies, Ace Records became really an iconic record company of all of us Southern artists down there. And what happened with those individual companies, and they had the legal right to do so back then, they literally had the free rights to license to anybody and everybody they wanted to. And so, truthfully, Just a Dream was, and a lot of the Ace record catalog was licensed to so many different record companies, so many different ones, even over in Europe. I'm still finding out about after all these years. So, to be honest with you, it is really impossible to know any kind of account. I do know that the song was an international, worldwide hit for me. And so how many sales it made, I can't really say. But I know on Facebook I have many, 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 many fans from all different countries of the world that have talked about that song.
Oh, it is such an iconic song and so identifiable with the doo-wop era and pioneer era of rock and roll, and I can't imagine that this song hasn't gone, you know, multi-platinum over the years because it is just so identifiable.
It probably the artist of that day, we were the last ones to find out anything about that, and I'll leave that to rest. Just the way I said it.
I know what you mean there, and you're right. It was a we.
Check
you weren't the only
mail.
One. Exactly. But, Jimmy, you mentioned writing a book, and I was going to mention that you would be among one of the ones that would be excellent to do just that because I'm sure that you express yourself well and you've got a story to tell without a doubt. But you have put a portion of that story into your latest album, and we're going to play a cut from that in called Don't Let Me Go in just a minute. Tell everyone about this legacy album of yours.
Well, about 3 years ago, I was doing a up close and personal show in New Orleans, and I was getting ready to go to rehearsal, and out of the clear blue, I just had this thought, you know, what if I was doing my very last show? Here I was at that time, I was in my 70s, and I thought, well, the truth of the matter is, I'm from Louisiana, I have my roots are down there, and truthfully, I would probably want my last live performance to be there. And I ended up writing a song about that, and that song was actually called Lovin' Louisiana, which is on my Legacy CD. Anyway, the tenor sax player said, I played it on the show, and people went wild over it, and the next thing I know, the sax player said, you know, there is a digital recording studio here in the area, and you should record that song and put it out. So for about a year, nothing happened, and so the fella and I got together, and he was so cordial, and I thought, okay, I'll take a chance. And so I went to that studio, Pershing Wells Digital Recording. It's called Sacale Productions. Sacale kind of a fish, kind of a brim. It's a fish. We all love to fish and eat sacalade down there in Louisiana. Anyway, the song came out so phenomenal that it blew me away. And the next thing you know, a few weeks go by, and I thought, well, you know, I might just write another. Well, long story short, 2 years later, I wrote 10, except for Just a Dream. I wrote 9 of them. I wrote all brand new songs, and what I wanted to do, it was the first time I recorded in over 30 years, I wanted this to be my legacy CD because I wanted to go out with the best of the best that I could be, not better than anybody else, just the best that Jimmy Clanton could possibly be. But I wanted to do something that I never had a chance to do before. As a singer-songwriter, I wanted to write 360 degrees type songs. What do you mean by that, Jimmy? I wanted to write gospel. I wanted to write country. I wanted to write top 40. I wanted to write what I call island music. And I wanted to write I wanted to write country, but I wanted to write a smooth jazz. And I ended up doing that, and one of the girls that sang backup down there so blew me away that she right now is my all-time favorite female vocalist in the world. Her name is Terry McPhail Chaisson, and she has a voice that is just unbelievable. And so I sat down, and I thought, okay, I have never done this before. My legacy CD, here it goes. And I wrote a song specifically, a duet for me and Terry. It came off so great that I wrote a second duet for me and Terry. And, of course, the album is called Everybody Needs Love, and that's the legacy CD. And it is the culmination of 40-some-odd years of learning how to sing, learning how to play guitar, but really learning how to write songs for Jimmy Clanton. And so that's pretty much what I feel like it's come to the forefront in legacy, in that legacy CD, Everybody Needs Love.
Fantastic, and it is such a tremendous album. You have definitely created the Jimmy Clanton masterpiece. Where's the best place for fans to get it?
Thank you. Right now, I haven't done anything with national distribution. I haven't been in a hurry to have to do that. At age 75, you don't have to get in a hurry to do much of anything.
Absolutely.
And so right now it's www.jimmyclanton.com. It's on my website, jimmyclanton.com.
Fantastic. And I want to mention something that I mentioned when I had the pleasure of interviewing Jimmy a year or so ago. Jimmy actually works with his fans. He talks with them. He interacts with them. You can go online, especially on Facebook, and Jimmy will not only welcome your comments, he will return them, and he has built up his own family of followers on Facebook. We're going to play Don't Let Me Go from the Legacy album, and thank you so much, Jimmy, for spending some time here with us this afternoon. Congratulations to you. God bless you, and I hope to get a chance to talk to you again in the near future. Thank you.
Anytime, David. Thank you. God bless you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jimmy. Here's Jimmy
Clanton.
Don't let me go,
honey. Don't let me go, baby. 'Cause when you smile that smile, I see in your eyes the love that drives me crazy. Don't let me go, honey. Don't let me go, baby. 'Cause doing what I love is what I'm doing. It's all about loving you. So how could I be blessed? No good reason. Is it a season God planned for me? That's what you are to me. Baby, I'll treat it tenderly with the greatest care.
Make a love.
The Crests, fantastic, and standing by on the phone right now, or perhaps sitting by, whatever, is Tommy Mara. Tommy, good afternoon. Okay, perhaps he's fallen asleep waiting. Tommy, are you with us? I guess he's not there. he was there a minute ago. Dave Kapulski, are you with us, Dave the Rave?
Yes, still here. Listen,
I know you remember the Crests. I could tell just by the way you walked that introduction in. Have you had the chance to work with them?
Well, I think I did one show, and I have to be honest with you, that I didn't know a lot about Tommy Mara, but he's electrifying on stage. He's huge. He's large. He talks about that. He jokes about it. He's got a great sense of humor. He brings any arena, he brings it to life. I mean, he just comes out on stage. You don't know what to expect. Obviously, the Crests, you know, Tommy Mara not being an original Crest, people, you know, they wonder what they're going to be getting, but they're getting a great show. They really are. Tommy does a great job. And in fact, when he's playing in the area, I usually make it a point to go see the show because I so much enjoy his singing and his personality.
Well, I have another call on the switchboard here, and we're going to take a chance that maybe he's called back on another line because it is from the same region of the country. Let's take a chance here, pick up on this phone line, and find out who we have online here. Hello there.
It is from the same region of the country.
David?
Yes.
It's Tony. I just got off the phone with Tommy. He was waiting to hear from you.
Okay, Tommy. Yeah, we picked up on the line and we missed you somehow, but
Tony Lauro. You know who I am.
Oh, Tony.
Yes.
Tony, yes. Okay.
I just got off the phone with him. He says he's waiting to hear from you.
Yeah, we have a little bit of an echo, and I couldn't quite understand you. This is Tony Lauro, another of the Crests, and I'm not sure. Okay, now it looks no, we don't have. We do have Tommy back. Okay, I believe.
Okay, just want to remind you. Thanks, David.
Okay, thank you, Tony. I believe this
I'll
is
talk to you
here. Soon. Okay, have a good one. Thank you. Tommy? Well, I dropped the call again.
Yeah, Tommy, are you there?
Well, the call has gone dead. I don't know. There's
Tommy, can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay, there you are, Tommy. No, every time I go to his line, it goes dead for some reason. I don't know. Now there's nothing on that line. Well, that is awkward. Now there's a hold time on the line, which would indicate there's somebody there. But when I open the line up, there's nobody there. Tommy, are you with us? Well, this is awkward. Okay, I've got another line here. I have no idea where it is or who it's from, but we're going to pop onto the line right now and say hello.
Hello?
Hello, Alan. Who is this?
Who is this? Thanks a lot. How soon am I? I'm forgotten.
Well,
I feel depressed. I feel like, you know, I feel like a piece of cheese thrown to a mouse. I feel like,
I've got is a phone number that I don't.
You've been promoting me all week, and you've been telling me all the people that I'm going to be on as I celebrate my 30th anniversary, and then you say,
oh,
who's this?
Oh, my God. Well, you see, that's what you get for surprising me with a phone number I didn't recognize.
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't I email you and say there may be another number calling? Oh, were you
yeah,
in
you
La
did,
La Land?
Actually.
That was too early in
actually,
the morning, right?
Actually, you did, yes. And Dave Kapulski, who is on the other line here, I want you to say hello. This is the legendary Jimmy J. Jimmy, this is Dave the Rave. He's online with us, too.
Hey,
Jimmy,
how you doing, guy? What's happening?
How are you?
I'm doing great, and I want to say it's an honor to be on this very special broadcast. And you know what I love? It's from live radio, so you lose people, you drop people, you don't know who the heck's calling, but as long as you're having fun, that's all that matters.
The only thing that
I know exactly what you mean.
The only thing that I knew was I'm listening to the voice. I'm thinking to myself, well, whoever just called in is one person who sounds alive and kicking.
That's right. It's better to be alive and kicking than the, you know, and the other.
Alternative,
you know?
Right?
The alternative.
Yeah.
And Jimmy is celebrating. Jimmy is celebrating a very. Jimmy's celebrating a very special day today. He's got he's up there at Jellystone Park in Massachusetts, celebrating 30 years of rocking on at Jellystone Park. And we thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of the celebration, Jimmy.
Well, it's great to be here. And man, it's you know when you think about it, 30 years working at the same venue. I mean, not you know, I mean every year. But, you know, it started out thanks to Michael Jackson. The truth of the matter is that I was at the Grammy Awards sitting next to Michael back in, what, 82 or something like that. And I told Michael, I said, when I get back to Boston, I'm going to find a guy who looks just like you and make a whole bunch of money. And he started laughing. He thought it was funny. And I did. And I got a Michael Jackson impersonator who wound up actually subbing for Michael many times and the only one endorsed by Michael. And what happened is Jellystone Park wanted a DJ and a Michael Jackson impersonator, and they called my agent and brought me in 83, and here we are 30 years later, still rocking the place, and it went from one gig to now I'm there approximately 25 to 30 days per summer, and we pack it out every time, and having a big party tonight and celebrating 30 years, so it's kind of cool, 30 years of stealing picnic baskets with Yogi. I like it.
Oh,
and that's why I'm heavy, you know. That's why I eat all this food, you know. I eat it for free with Yogi, and, you know, that's what happens.
So my question to you then is that, are you Mr. Ranger, sir, or are you Boo-Boo?
well, I really like to be Yogi because I'm the one that steals the picnic baskets. So there you go.
Smarter than the average bear.
That's right.
And my co-host here, John Bon Jovial, is actually an original Massachusetts resident himself. Your roots are up there, aren't they, John?
That's right. Yeah, I was brought up in the Newton area, about 15 miles west of the shrine that we all pray to, known as Fenway Park.
Did you say
and if you'll hark, I'm going to interrupt. I'm going to interrupt this for just a second. We're going to take another shot here. I think we might have Tommy on the phone. Tommy, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Hey, we made it. Thank God, Tommy. Thanks for your staying with it. We had a difficulty getting you here for some reason, but we got you now. Welcome aboard, Tommy Mirror of the Crests.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, thanks for your persistence, man. It's we've got a fun house here. We've got my regular co-host, John Bon Jovial, is sitting in with us.
Hello, Tommy.
Dave DeRay from Wibbage in New Jersey, and we've got Jimmy Jay from up in the great state of Massachusetts.
You know, Tommy has been doing a great job with the Crest. I want to say that. He's keeping it alive, and you're doing a great job, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I got a bunch of great guys that go, you know, they go on tour with me. It's a great group, and we're just trying to keep Johnny's music alive.
I believe that you were on my, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, David, but I did Dick Clark's 80th birthday, and I believe we had you on, didn't we, Tommy? You called in.
Yes, yes, I did. Yep, I did. That was a good one.
Well, you're doing a heck of a job. We're getting, you know, I hear all kinds of great things about the job you are doing with the Crest and perpetuating the music, the image, and just carrying it on. As a matter of fact, I spoke with Grace Mastrangelo, Johnny's widow, and she was saying that she just loves the fact that you're carrying on the tradition and Tom and Johnny's memory. And the fans that go to your show, as a matter of fact, I just missed one of your shows here a week or so ago. I wanted to get to in the worst way, but just couldn't make it. They say that you really, really put on a show for them.
Well, we tried, and like I said, the whole thing is, the main thing is to keep Johnny's music going and the Crests, and it's just it's a great show, a lot of great tunes, and you got to keep the music alive.
How many dates a year are you playing now?
Right now we're up to about between 40 and 60 dates a year.
Just enough to keep you busy, huh?
Just enough to get me tired than what I am.
Well, you know, some of that is a product of the energy you put into those shows, because you don't just walk out on stage, stand there, and sing a few tunes.
No, no. We're not that group that says, and this song was done in 1964 and it went something like this. You know what? They came there. They know how the song goes. So we don't have to say that. That's all about having fun.
Tommy, David Ray from WIBG Radio. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
You know, can I throw a question in? I was just curious.
Oh, absolutely. Go for it.
I was just curious, you know, what relationship does your group have with people like J.T. Carter or any of the original Crests?
Well, all the Crests are gone except for J.T. J.T. is the only one left. And he originally started singing bass for me in the year 2000. And then one day we were in Savannah, Georgia. We did a show, and I never seen him again. He called me back about 2 years after that. So I have no idea, you know, relationship-wise, you know, we don't talk much, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe if I ever see them, you know, something could possibly re-resurrect, but we have no touch and base with him at all whatsoever.
Tommy,
losses. That's a good thing, I hope.
Yeah, well, JT was a great bass singer. That's what he is. He's a bass singer, you know.
He was legend. He was legendary, and I remember him well. Tommy, this is John Bon Jovial, and I just wanted to, you know, let you know that I've been a big fan for many, many years. But I've always been curious, and one of the things that I always like to ask people when I get the opportunity, you know, you're a road warrior. We all know that. And can you tell us, without going into too graphic detail, you know, some of the more unusual things that you've encountered over the years when you've been on the road with the group?
Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. That's been great. So, you know, we're the type of group, we travel, and we do, you know, a lot of pickup bands. You know what pickup bands are, right? That's a group you walk in and you hand them your sheet music, and next thing you know, you got to do 40 minutes and you never even seen these guys before.
Right, right.
So that's some of the toughest stuff. And, you know, you do a rehearsal with them and the music sounds absolutely fabulous. Then you get on stage to do the show and it's like it was a different band. You know, so we're always nice to them. I'm always nice to them. I never yell or disrespect anyone. And usually if there's something wrong, you know, I'll pick it up by myself. You know, I'll say something like, you know, it's me, you know, or something. Or I had a big cheeseburger and got stuck in my throat or something, you know, if they're playing the wrong type of music. But there's been a lot of encounters, and the enjoyment, the mixture with the other groups like Charlie Thomas and Shirley Austin Reeves and, you know, all the groups, Jay Siegel and, you know, Jay Black and Kenny Vance. It's just great camaraderie with me and my group with the other groups. It's a lot different than groups together. There's no egos in our group, none whatsoever. We just love to sing. And that's one thing I learned, you know, from Johnny, let him rest in peace. You know, Johnny was a quiet guy. He didn't talk to too many people because he didn't want to get involved with a lot of people. There was a lot there for him to do. You know, he was one of the greatest, you know, I mean, he was the Frank Sinatra duo.
Well, he let his talent speak for itself.
Yes, yes. And he wasn't stuck up. He was just, you know, he was an introvert. He just, you know, not with me. Me, I can get him to do anything, which nobody would believe. I can get Johnny to do anything. I even made him do a curse word once or twice or maybe three times.
I only got to meet Johnny one time, and that was when I was DJing back up in the New York Capital District. There was a small club over in the Rensselaer suburb, and for those of you not familiar with the New York State Capital District, there's Albany, Schenectady, and Troy, and Rensselaer is not a major player in that, but it is part of the metropolitan area, and they had this little small club called The Barrel there, and he was playing there one night when I was over there, and we got together back in the owner's office for a drink and chatted a little bit. It was the only time I ever got to meet him, but I know I've talked with Tony Lauro. As a matter of fact, we just had him on the phone a minute ago telling me that you were trying to get a hold of us. I've talked to him. Tell us about the guys in the group. We don't get to meet the guys in the group unless we're at one of your shows.
Well, basically, in the year 2000, I had Tony Laurel sings baritone for me, which originally sang with me with the Saints. He's a great guy. He's very loyal, and he's a gentleman. He's a real, you know, real gentleman, which makes it very good for the group. He's not from Ted Max Amateur Hour. He's not that type of person. And the other gentleman was with me from the year 2000 was Joe Pizzo, who's been sang with a bunch of guys a cappella in New Jersey. Moved to Florida, and I picked him up as a tenor. And we had a second tenor that was with us, Connie Demo, who played with the Paramounts. And he ran into some throat cancer, so it was a little a little bit disheartening, because we had some camaraderie. We had a tour bus and we were touring all over, and had Ken Galliano singing bass, which he's from the original Saints from New York, and he came down to Florida and started the Saints here. So you know, it's just it was a great thing. We had a lot of fun. We transposed that fun from the stage to the audience, and built a following that was unbelievable. It was because we were with the people. We weren't the ones who done. They got dressed. They ran home. We didn't do that. We were with the people, and that's what made us so friendly and so popular, especially in Florida. I mean, if we lived in New York, you know, I'm not saying this. Don't take this away now. Kenny Vance is a great friend of mine. But we'd have as many dates as Kenny Vance, because we always have the friendship with the people. We don't ignore nobody. If you ever came on a cruise with us, you'd go home totally different. You'd never be the same. I can tell you that all of us, I don't care who you are, you'd never be the same. If you went on one of our cruise ships with us, you'd never be the same. I'm telling you.
That sounds like fun. You guys, are you playing up in the Northeast, up in Jimmy J's country at all?
Yeah, we have some stuff. I'm working on some stuff. We were supposed to do the North End Feast this year, and I don't know what had happened. I did that a couple of years ago, and I came out with a Yankee shirt. Boy, did I get some bad looks from some of them guys up there.
Yeah, you don't wear Yankee shirts up here. Can I just say something on this subject? I want to talk about Johnny and the Crest. And, you know, sure. I first met Johnny in 68, I believe it was, something like that, and we remained friends for years and years, and I was actually with him the night he did his very last show and took the very last picture in his stage outfit. In fact, we ran into each other at a rest area after the show. But, you know, I think that Johnny Maestro has one of the largest fan-based followings in the world of any artist I know. It was amazing, the loyalty. Now, with that being said, I have something to say about this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing. And, Tommy, you're going to like this. The Brooklyn Bridge fans may not like this, but they're all on this quest to get Johnny into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know what? It takes more than one person to make a group. And I believe that if anybody should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it should be the Crest as a whole, not Johnny Maestro. That happened with Buddy Holly. That happened with Bill Haley. You know, we need the Crest to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Johnny would not be... You know, he was a great talent, no question, but it took all of you guys, and it was one of the very first integrated groups ever in rock history, and they deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Each and every one of you deserve it, not just Johnny Maestro. And Grace knows how I feel. You know, I love Grace. We did a cruise together, and I was so honored that they asked me to speak at Johnny's funeral. But I think that the whole entity should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it should be done soon.
Without being disrespectful to anyone, and I'll take this the wrong way, the Brooklyn Bridge, are good. They were great. But without the Crest hits, they wouldn't have worked at all.
That's right.
The Crest hits, J.T. Carter, Patty Vandross, Chico, Tommy, and J.T. I mean, that was the hits. That was the home runs. Okay? Listen, the worst that could happen, that was a national tour hit. You know, but the Crest is the marquee name. And you're right. Johnny Maestro, you know. It is Little Anthony Imperials. It is, you know,
I've got your back on that, and whatever I can do to help, you know, I'm willing to do. You know, the Rewind Show is syndicated around the world, and we'll do whatever we can do. That's what we do for artists. And it's just so important that the world knows that.
I've been pushing for it for years. But you know what it is? It's politics. It kind of works.
Hey, oh, if you don't think it's politics, just if you don't think it's politics, just look at the
Rock
list
and Roll
of the
Hall of Fame. But she
look
gave
at the
up on it,
aren't there?
And Chubby, you know, Chubby wants to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but he really doesn't want to be. He wants to have a statue outside the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That would be some big statue, buddy.
Chubby's a one-of-a-kind original. I love him. David, have you ever interviewed Chubby Checker?
No, I've never had the pleasure of interviewing him.
Well, if you hang out and talk with him on a one-to-one level, he always talks in the third party. He says, Chubby doesn't do this and Chubby doesn't do that. And I love Chubby Checker. He's my friend, but he's a funny dude.
I would love the opportunity. We were talking earlier that we may have to do another one of these oldies rock and roll specials here, because they're so much fun. There's so many groups that are still out there playing, and that's a tribute not only to the music but to the professionalism and the dedication of the individual members of these groups. It's fantastic.
And Tommy, you mentioned earlier one of my favorite buddies in the whole wide world, Charlie Thomas. Yeah. He's the character, man. He is a funny, funny guy, and he loves my wife. And I have to watch him all the time when he's around her.
I love
him
too.
He leaves messages going, hey, Jimmy J, your wife out there getting black so she can come into my neighborhood? I've got all this stuff. He leaves the most outrageous messages on my phone, and he is truly one of the greats, and we just lost about a month ago Marshall Lytle of Bill Haley's Comets, which he and I toured around a lot together. And I was thinking, when you said about having doing a rehearsal with one band, and then the next you go to do the show and another group of guys shows up, Marshall and I from Bill Haley's Comets were in Cincinnati, I believe it was, Indianapolis, Indiana, and we did this rehearsal, and it was unbelievable. And I think it was the guitar player or somebody. He was unbelievable. He was rocking. And at the end, he goes, okay, we'll see you tonight. He goes, oh, no, I'm not going to be here. I was just sitting in for the guy that couldn't be here.
That's unbelievable.
That happened. It's weird.
Actually, Marshall lived about 15 minutes from me in Newport Richie, Florida. I was real close with him. He was a great guy. Great guy, and what a loss. What a loss.
My brother's living up there.
A class act all the way, and, you know, when he got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm so happy it happened to him while he was alive, and he carried that trophy everywhere. Everywhere.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He couldn't carry that bass, though. That was a little heavy. He couldn't carry that everywhere. It was a little heavy.
It was amazing. You know, think about, you know, I know we're getting off the subject a little bit, but when you think about an artist and what music does to your soul, the man had his leg amputated, and he was back on the stage in 28 days, back on the Andy Williams Theater, without the leg performing. 28 days.
Right after that, he was at the Meadowlands doing the show, you know, at the Izod Center with us. I couldn't believe it. I was, you know, standing there watching him. And he's a great man. Actually, he bought the tour bus from Bill Pickney and the Drifters.
Yep, I know that.
And then he couldn't do nothing with it. And then I bought that tour bus. And I remodeled the whole tour bus. And when he seen it, he was in shock. He told me
that story. In fact, there's pictures up online of that tour bus, and that you guys took it over after him too. So
we had. And if I could say
rock and roll, folks, you know what people, David, I hope understand is they're getting to hear rock and roll at its best right here on your show, and it's
absolutely,
you know, it's so cool that you're able to present it.
I am so proud. I'm so proud and happy to be able to do it. I mean, the music has been my life for all my life, basically. And it's just so wonderful to be able to gather these guys together and be able to give something back to my fans and followers, and also to the music itself. And we're going to do that just right now, because all I can think of to say is G, so that's what we're going to play. I want to thank you, Tommy Mara, for being with us and for sharing these wonderful memories with us. I'd love to get you guys all back together again, and we do another longer show where we can sit and talk. But like I said, right now, all I can say is G.
Oh, I'd love you so and never let you go. Oh no, never let you go. Just how much I depend on you. I'm sure you'll start to give your heart to me.
As good now as it did the day that was first released. Gee, but the crest. And we want to thank our guest co-host, Dave the Rave from Wibbage. Dave, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's great to be here. Great to be with Jimmy J and Mr. Bon Jovi. And Dave, a pleasure and an honor to be with you today. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure entirely. Thank you, Dave. We look forward
thank
to
you,
talking
Dave.
To you again in the future. Thank you very much. And Jimmy, are you still with us?
I'm still here. You know, I blew off Mark Lindsay while we were talking. Mark Lindsay called in, and I blew him off, and I feel bad.
Oh, my gosh. That's not good.
Switched him off. I clicked him off. And I feel really bad because I've blown him off 3 phone calls so far. He called yesterday twice and once today, so that must mean he wants something important. I don't know. Maybe he's looking to get his kicks. I don't know.
You never know. Boy, we're getting quite an echo chamber effect with you. You get your sound effects on or something today, but right now, I have no idea what that squealing is, but I have no control.
That's a modem handshake. I wonder where that's coming from.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from, but we're going to just proceed on here. And right now, Jimmy J, we're going to put you to work because we're going to bring on the Mystics. And I know that if I tell you their big hit record is what we're going to play next, you'll know what the name of that song is.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you with the squeal, so...
Oh, you could hear the squeals, too? Yeah, I was saying we're going to bring on the Mystics right now, and we're going to put you to work, because I know if I tell you we're going to play the Mystics' big hit, you're going to know what song we're going to play next.
It has something to do with being quiet. Hush. Hush-a-bye. George Galpo, I hope. I love him.
Hello? David? David? Because the music is too loud.
Yeah, well, the music stops. Have you been on already?
No, I've been waiting. He told me to call in at 3:00, and you and Tommy talked, and now he brought the music.
Oh, wow, I didn't know you were.
slumber tune.
The legendary song Hushabye from the Mystics.
Hey, and David?
David had to step away from the phone for just a minute. This is John.
Well, I need to say something that Grace Mastrangelo's on the phone with us, and she's been on since 3 o'clock, she just said.
Since 3 o'clock. Well, we've been having some troubles with this switchboard here this afternoon, and
Grace, I apologize.
Grace, you there?
She was talking to me during the phone.
I'm still here. I was going to hang up once you put the Mystics on because I figured it was over.
Well, Grace, we sure don't want you doing that. No, not at all. This is John, and Dave is going to be back here in
Dave is here, and Grace, thank you so much for calling. I'm sorry you weren't able to get in while we had Tommy on, but it is so great to have you here with us today. For our listeners, this is the wife of Johnny Maestro. This is Grace Mastrangelo. Grace, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
It's good to
have you. Hey, Dave?
Yes. Yes.
This is Phil Cracolici. How you doing?
Hello, Phil. Doing fine, thank you. Welcome aboard. I guess it looks like we've got most all of you here today. And I wanted to take a moment to talk with Grace because we tried to get her on while the crests were on, and it didn't quite work out that way. But Grace,
okay.
We wanted you to share a few of your memories of Johnny with us.
Well, the only memories that I have are not with the crests; it's with the Brooklyn Bridge, which I'm a little upset of Tommy's comment about the Brooklyn Bridge not really being anything without the crests, because the Brooklyn Bridge, in their own right, had quite a few hits.
Right, and I don't think there was any offense meant. I think basically what he was saying was that Johnny and the crests originally laid the groundwork for what came later. And
I think that's what he was saying too, Grace. I think he was trying to establish that the foundation was laid by Johnny, and you know he spearheaded the Brooklyn Bridge as well.
I understand that, but I just it's regardless, it's going to be taken the wrong way. I mean, if you play it back and you listen to it, that's the way I took it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just telling you how it was perceived by me, being just listening to the show.
Well, I can understand what you're saying,
but at least we can clarify that while we're on the air. I believe that that's what he meant by that.
Right, and I don't think there's any other real way to look at it. He was basically, you know, crediting the fact that Johnny Maestro and the crests laid the groundwork for everything that came later, and his work with the crests and the breakthrough of the group was what led him to be able to do these other things down the road with his career.
Right. No, that's understandable. I mean, he was also solo for quite a while.
Right.
And
you
got to
understand, you know, the Del Satins too became the Bridge too, and it's the whole thing works together, and I think that's what we were all trying to say is that, well, I know that's what I was saying. You heard me say that you know everybody had to work together to get to where they went.
And that's really, that's really how the industry worked and still does for that matter. But if you look back at the number of groups that intermingled or later became other groups, I know we mentioned for some reason Dave Somerville wasn't able to get with us today, but Dave is another one. He started with the Diamonds and later went on to sing with several other groups from that era, and a lot of the acts either led to other groups or created with other groups. So yeah, it's a thing that Johnny started with his group, and they were a breakthrough. They were the first interracial group, and they went on to lay the groundwork for what later became a great solo career for Johnny, and also his career with the Brooklyn Bridge.
And you know, I know that Johnny Grace loved you so much. You know, you two together, it was just amazing. There was a magic between the two of you, and it's so cool. It was just so cool.
Thank you. Yes, it was.
It was great.
We had great times. Cruises
yep.
were great.
And I'm really, really so glad that you...
I don't think we ever did a cruise with you, Jimmy, did we?
I'm sorry?
I said I don't think Johnny and I ever did a cruise with you.
Yes, we did. Oh, wait
did
a minute.
We?
No, you didn't. You were on the cruise yourself when the bridge were on.
That was for the celebration of life.
The Cheryl Maimon cruise we did together.
Right.
No, we just did, you know, I was with you guys at the Vocal Group Hall of Fame induction. I forget, you know, I mean, I've been with Johnny so many times I couldn't even remember. You know, needless
right.
to say, countless times at Mohegan Sun. And, you know, it's just... You know, Johnny was one of these quiet guys in the background, you know, but he was always very cordial and always open to his fans. And I think that's why he's respected and loved so much by so many people.
Yeah.
You know, what you
yeah.
see is what you got with Johnny. He was a real deal.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, because he was so quiet, thought he was stuck up. And, you know, Johnny was like that from when he first started with the Crest. He was very quiet.
Right, right. Classy guy, though, and he's missed by a lot of people, boy.
Oh, absolutely, and the type of guy that demanded respect without asking for it.
Now, Grace, the bridge, I don't mean to be taking a show over here, guys, but the bridge are back together again. Is that not true? What's happening with that?
Yeah, they've been playing. In fact, they just recently played in Vegas, and the lead singer is, I believe, Joe Esposito.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
I keep hearing muted and unmuted. Am I on and off? Or
No. You're
there.
You're still with us.
Phil Cracolucci's on the line with us, too. Phil, did you guys ever work with Johnny? And
oh, yes. Yes, we did quite a few shows with John. Yep.
Was he quiet to you? I mean, you guys are, you know, you're in the same business.
Yes, he's quiet. Yeah. Well, that's his style. That's what he is. Fine gentleman, you know.
Yeah, I think if we listen real closely, I think we have all four of the Mystics online with us now, don't we? George, are you there?
I'm here. Do you hear me?
George is here.
Hello,
Phil
George.
Is here. And Joe, are you with us?
Yeah.
I'm hanging in.
And he's Rocky.
Yes, Rocky's hanging in here.
Okay, we got the whole group on board with us, Jimmy. They,
yeah, well, what you don't know is George is my brother from another mother.
You got it, Jimmy.
and we always hung out down in Florida when we were down there, but next year our cruise is leaving out of Houston, so we're not going to be able to get together, George. But somehow when you come back up to New England, we got to hook up because I know we've met at airports, but it's been so crazy. My schedule has been really nuts, and I miss you guys and love to Joni, too.
Well, we'll wait for the next visit so you can come down and break that $100 bill.
You always remember the $100
bill. Hey, Grace, are you still on the line? Grace, I want to thank you very much for sending that picture when I was with Johnny at his birthday party. That is precious. I do appreciate you sending
welcome.
That.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. It's something
I can always treasure.
I
had that actually through his brother because his brother had gone through boxes and boxes of photos from when they were
little
kids.
Wondering who took that picture. And it's really a keepsake, and I do treasure it. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't tell you who took it. I know it was taken at his birthday party, and I remember asking because I recognized Al Contrera, and I said,
"Right, I'm the one sitting down at the table."
And I said, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe you know him for all these years."
Right. Well, we used to hang out with Johnny for a while.
Right.
We had great times with him.
I believe that was his 21st birthday.
Yeah, yeah, he was between, right after he got out with the press, it was in between things, and we used to hang out together, and we had so much fun. I mean, it was really
wonderful days. I'm glad it brought back a lot of memories for you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great. Hope you get it laminated,
because it's
an old picture.
Speaking of the memories,
David,
not
David,
to take a totally different direction, but I did want to touch
David,
on something
David.
Here. Yes.
Yeah, David and John, thank you. It's an honor to be on today, and I'm glad my guys are still on, and we can do a little, bringing up some of the past, hopefully.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things I wanted to get to. I know, George, we've talked several times, and you had told me that Phil was rejoining the group. Now, Phil and you are two of the originals, if I'm correct.
Yes, Phil was my uncle, actually.
Right, that was my next point I was going to bring across. There was more than a musical relationship involved between the two of you. Phil, what made you decide you wanted to get back with the Mystics?
Well, I missed it.
That's
I
an honest
it.
Answer. That's an honest answer. Now tell us about the two new guys, because many of us are familiar with George and Phil. How about Joe and Rocky? Tell us about the new kids on the block.
Well, Joe, I don't know if Phil wants to say it, but Joe and Rocky, they're very seasoned veterans in their own rights. They did plenty of touring and everything and been in the field for a long time. Joe Neary has been with Dion on tour for quite a while. He did the two last albums with him, but I'll let Joey explain that to him. And Rocky is with Lenny Koch.
He's doing
a
good job. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you got to be careful of that Joe guy.
No,
boy.
You guys,
I
want you guys to talk. I don't give you much time to talk on stage, so now you got the show. Go ahead.
Well, David, I'm going to run.
All right.
Okay,
all right,
Grace.
Care,
thank
Grace.
You so
thank
much
you.
For stopping
you,
by.
Okay, take care. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. This is Rocky Marsicano here. And I just want to say what a pleasure it is to be with the Mystics, a group that I've admired for many, many years through the days and the many, many 23 years that I was with Lenny Koch and the Chimes performing on the same stage with the Mystics. And now that I moved down to Florida to have an opportunity to work with the three professional guys such as George, Phil, and Joe, I'm just honored. So that's basically what I'd want to say.
Well, thank you very much, and let me get in the word here before we go any further. For those of you listening online right now live, this show is going to end in about 35, 40 seconds. We will continue the conversation and close the show out. The entire show will be available on the podcast a little later today. So thank you very much, and we'll be finishing up the show off the air. Guys with the Mystics, go ahead. We were talking with Joe and Rocky, the two new kids on the block, and Phil and George, the two original Mystics members. Now, the one story I want you to tell, and I don't, George or Phil, whoever wants to tell it, one story that I love and I want to share with as many of our listeners as I can was the story of the hit that you did not have.
Well, actually, Teenager in Love was written for us way back in 1959. And when they brought the song up to us, we started to rehearse it. And we really liked it a lot. But Dion was there, and he was on the label, Lori label, before we were. And he said, guys, I like that song. And, said, well, you do have more... want to say about this on this label. So we gave him the song, and they did a wonderful job. Dion the Belmonts did a wonderful job. And then Doc Thomas and Mort Schumann went out and came back a few days later with Hushabye. And that's the truth.
And
you know what I'd like to know?
History.
I'd like to know if you guys got paid.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Are you still waiting for your checks?
What's
for
that?
Which song?
For any of the stuff you've done back in the day.
Well, all the expenses were paid.
Hey, Joey, you still there?
Yeah, I'm hanging out.
Well, tell you a little thing about Dion. Go ahead, because Dion was one of our best friends when we were on the label at the same time, and this was a blessing that he was there and we were together and we bought a great hit. Now, Joey did a lot of things with Dion later. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, well, of course, my history goes way back to Long Island and started in Brooklyn, but I moved out to Long Island. Then went into the service.
Talking about Dion.
I'm coming. I gotta work up to it. Hey, you know, I got to lay the groundwork, they say. Okay. Now, anyway, I come out of service. I came to Florida. I got in a group called Reunion. We played for 25 years. We played at Dion's 50th birthday. And he liked it. He liked me. And all the other guys were there. Gallagher was there. And so he came to me towards the end of the reunion when we were kind of like winding down and said, "How'd you like to come on tour with me?" And for the next 10 years, I was on and off touring. And we did two albums, Deja Nu and New Masters. And I had a ball. We went up to all the casinos and out to Vegas and every place everybody goes. Met everybody. It's kind of like been, you know, how when you're a kid you have dreams. Well, I've lived all my dreams and been on every stage with just about every singing star there is. And I'm very, very proud. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. All right, Joe, that's good. You got through it.
You guys got some great stories. As a matter of fact, if I had been thinking today, I would have ordered up some pizza, just kicked back, and let you guys talk.
No, we
well, let Phil
pizza.
Say some words. Phil, get in there.
Pizza's for us.
Yeah, I guess I would have had to order pizzas all the way around.
You're right.
Hey, George, don't forget the new CD that we're working on also.
Oh, tell us about the new CD.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a surprise. Yeah. Well, we're working on it now. We're getting the material together, and hopefully it'll be a blast. It's going to be a blast for us anyway. We enjoy it. And maybe in a few months we will have it ready. But Phil, you got anything to say before they leave?
What was
somebody's
that?
Got
Phil,
trouble.
Yeah, Phil makes good spaghetti sauce.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I got sauce for all you guys.
Hey, I'm there.
The sauce.
I finished all my sauce.
I made it last night. I got plenty of sauce.
Good.
It's all ready to be delivered to you guys.
And I got six empty jars. I need to bring them to you.
We're down here in beautiful Naples, Florida, so we're ready. We're ready for the sauce.
Yeah,
right.
Bring on the sauce.
Bring on the sauce.
You know, like I say,
Charlie
you guys
Gracie
had a great
has
show.
To have sauce every Sunday. Charlie
yeah.
Gracie says yeah. It's not Sunday without sauce.
There you go.
And
now that the cat's out of the bag, we're going to be hounding you to hear more information about that new CD that we just heard a rumor about. Remember, folks, you heard it here first. And if there's one of the Mystics missing at the next show, you'll know it's because he let the cat out of the bag.
David, I'd like to say that I think that the Mystics reunion between Phil and George is one of the great reunions of all time, and I mean that. I'm so glad. Now, if you two guys could talk to Paul Revere and the Raiders and to Three Dog Night, we'd be rocking because we've got the Rascals back together, and we could do a whole reunion tour with all these guys because these are the foundations. These are the groups that really put rock and roll into another, you know, realm, and I'm just psyched that you guys are back together and doing it together. I'm really happy about that. So both
hey,
you
got the connections. Come on.
Well,
yeah, that
I helped
is awesome.
With the Rascals. I definitely helped with the Rascals, and I'm working on the Mark Lindsay thing. Like I just told you, he's called me three times and once during this interview, so we're trying to do something
with that.
Well, tell
you what, you get that put together, and I'll put up one of my shows, and we can do an introductory show for all of them. Get them all
there
on
you
there.
Go. Good. You got it.
Yeah, I'll put up the airtime for that one. No questions asked.
There you go.
All right. We're gonna move on and close this show out for the day. We ran a little bit over time, but hey, it's my show. I'll take all the time I want. I want to thank all of our guests today, most currently here, Jimmy J, up there in the great state of Massachusetts, and thank you, Jimmy, for taking time out of your 30th anniversary at Jellystone Park ceremonies today. Thank you so much for being with us. We're honored. And, of
thanks
course,
for inviting
thank
me.
You
I'm
for
honored.
The...
Thank you for our current guests here, George Gelfo, Phil Krakalisi, Joe and Rocky. I don't even have your last names here.
Neary,
but,
Joe Neary. It's
Rocky
like
Marsicano.
Joe Neary.
Rocky Marsicano.
Rocky Marsicano, yeah. George, Phil, Joe, and Rocky. We'll leave it at that. Thank you so much, and also thanks to Joni for coordinating everything for us with you guys. It's always a pleasure working with you. I look forward to having pizza with you again real soon, and definitely looking forward to that sauce. Thank you guys so much. We're going to leave you very appropriately with the Mystics and a Sunday Kind of Love.
Great show, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
You want us to hang in, or?
I don't know. Are we done?
The Sunday Kind of Love, the Mystics, finishing up our rock and roll, the Roots of Rock and Roll special here on the David Bowers Awards. We're so grateful to all of our guests for being able to join us today. I'm sorry that Dave Somerville wasn't able to get here and be on the show today. Perhaps we can figure out something and have him come back on a future show. In the meantime, thanks. A ton of thanks to Jimmy Clanton, to the Coasters, the Crests, the Mystics, the Platters, and most of all, to you, our listeners. Without you, there wouldn't be a show. It would be just me and John sitting here playing music for each other, and that wouldn't be half as much fun as sharing the afternoons with you. Hope you've had a fantastic and happy holiday weekend, this Independence Day weekend. God bless you all. We'll talk again real soon to tell us about our next show. Here's John Bon Jovial. Take us home, John.
Okay. Thank you very much, David. Wonderful, great show today. Some real legends. I just want to tell you that the David Bowers Awards is produced by The David Bowers for Stick It In Your Ear Productions from the studios of Computer Help USA in beautiful Naples, Florida. We are available for free download on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Be sure to click the follow link on our Blog Talk Radio page and get reminders of our upcoming shows. Be sure to like The David Bowers on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Be sure to join us for the David Bowers Awards Sunday, August 11th at 2 p.m. Eastern, that's 11 a.m. Pacific, when our guests will be Native American artists, the lovely and talented singer, songwriter, actress, author, and philanthropist Jana Mashoni, and also we're going to be having multi-talented Lauren Anthony and the Bloodline, who will tell us about being in the Lone Ranger movie. Jovi, and also Taylor Corbett of Rolling Thunder, the first all-Native American musical. Until then, for the David Bowers and all of the inmates here at the asylum, this is John Bon Jovial saying, be good to each other, people, and we'll see you next time on the David Bowers Awards.